Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Dr. History, good morning, Dr. Ken Turner. How are you?
Good morning, Deb. I'm doing great.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but we've had a slight change in the scheduling because of New Year's and New Year's Eve and everything. But welcome aboard, my friend.
Well, thank you. Hope you have a good New Year tomorrow.
You know, I got to tell you something. That little basket of goodies you sent over here, that bread that was in that basket of goodies made the best French toast I've ever had in my life. Oh, outstanding.
Well,
outstanding.
Good.
Anyhow.
You know, tomorrow they're having a big parade and football game in my honor because it's my birthday.
You know what? I owe you a big apology. I knew it was your birthday, and I forgot to send you a card. I forgot to send you consolations for getting so much older than I am.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, and I just want to extend to you happy birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. You sound like you got a little cold.
I'm a little hoarse, but I'm okay.
Well, you're just a Shetland pony.
I know. I may have to stop in between and take a little drink here once in a while.
Well, it depends on what you're snorkeling on over there.
It's cold and it's clear and it's just water.
All right. What are you going to do to tantalize us for the last day of 2013?
All right. Zeb, when I say the word grizzly, and there's a certain guy's name that follows that. What name comes to your mind?
Adams.
Grizzly Adams.
Yep.
Bear Man of California.
Yep.
So, all right, I want you to picture here coming down from the craggy mountains and the canyons, strolling along with a beat-up creaking wagon. Here's this guy. He's in his early 40s. But he's got a white beard, long gray hair. He's got buckskins that are torn and dirty. He's got a fur hat that covers his head. He's got an assistant by the name of Drury that's driving a wagon that's filled with cages that's holding foxes and wolves and other animals. He's got some deer, elk, antelope, and tied behind this whole thing is a couple of big old grizzly bears.
Tied behind grizzly bears?
Yeah, behind the wagon. He's got them tied to the axle of the wagon.
And they're walking along with the wagon.
Yeah.
Holy buckets.
So just picture this. This California mountaineer, he's got this motley crew, and he's carrying a stick in case he has to kind of nudge one of the animals to keep in line.
Oh, wait, whoa, stop just a minute. Now, you tell me how tough and brave you are. You tell me, Dr. History, that you're going to take a stick and nudge a grizzly bear and tell him to get in line. Go ahead, tell me that.
Yeah, and their names, Benjamin Franklin and Lady Washington. Those were the names of these two bears.
Okay.
But they could wrestle, they could turn somersaults, they could, grizzly could ride on their back, you know. And when they'd pass through villages and farms, people would stop, obviously, and they'd stare, and some would shout out questions. They'd say, well, you know, what kind of bears are those? And he'd say, well, they're grizzly bears. And the people would then, at that point, drop back a little farther because the grizzlies were killing people, ranchers, livestock, and people pretty well considered they were natural-born killers. But here was old grizzly, old bearded, buckskin-clad grizzly, walking along with these like it was no big deal.
Oh, my goodness.
So they actually called him back then Old Adams, not Grizzly Adams. That came later.
I see.
But as he was known at the time, he put on this kind of ragtag show in San Jose and several smaller towns on his way to San Francisco. And this was in the summer of 1856. And what he'd do, he'd get to a town, he'd find a suitable corral, and he would set his animal cages around the inside. then he would have let the animals roam inside, and he'd guide them through the various acts that, you know, it was kind of crude stuff, but, you know, the people loved it. And once old Adams got to the great city, old San Francisco, his legend really blossomed then. Now, his name really was John Adams, and he was had a real affinity for animals. He's actually born in Massachusetts in 1812, and he actually trained as a shoemaker, a cobbler.
Really?
But he really liked being outdoors, and he tried his hand at catching wild game for a touring animal show, but after he got mauled by a tiger, he returned to making shoes. So it kind of discouraged him there. But he got married, he settled down, he had a wife and three kids, and lived in there in Massachusetts. But in 1849 was the gold rush, California, so he headed out. He staked some claims, he bought a store and a saloon, but these failed. More bad luck followed. His cattle got stolen. Anyway, he said he'd had enough of all this stuff, and he loaded up a wagon, some oxen, some rifles, blankets, and cooking stuff, and he headed into the hills, into the Sierra Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is out there. He was going to shun society and just live with the animals in the forest. So with the help of some friendly Indians, he built a shelter, and he did learn to live off the land. He hunted and trapped bears and other animals, and he sold their skins. He was fascinated with the California grizzlies because they were bigger than the black bears from back east.
Well,
I,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
But. Holy smokes.
So, but there was a merchant by the name of Solon that he hired Adams as a hunting guide to go into Yosemite and to take some people in there hunting. So as they're going into the valley, the two hunters that he was taking in, they were busy killing and skinning game, and Adams found a bear den, and he watched it for 3 days. Well, when a big old grizzly female came out one morning, he could hear some cubs, and that's what he wanted. He wanted some cubs to train, so he knew what he had to do. Well, he shot the mama grizz. And as he was carrying the two cubs back to camp, he realized he had a serious problem. Their eyes were closed, which meant they were still on mama's milk.
Mm.
And he tried a mixture of sugar, water, and flour, but that didn't work. So
Yeah. It
happened at this time he had a greyhound dog that had just given birth to a litter of pups.
Now, this is going to be an unhappy dog.
Well, and as he puts it, despite some argument from the dog, Adams killed all but one of the pups to make room for these two bear cubs at the greyhound dinner table. So Adams named these two cubs Benjamin Franklin and General Jackson.
Oh, my.
So, and that's how he started with these. So now in 1854, with the help of some Indian friends, he moved his growing collection to some mining camps, and he'd pick a location, get a corral, and he'd chain his animals, and he'd put on the show. And he'd have the bears wrestle each other. Then they'd perform tricks. They'd race. Next, they'd have a fight between two bears. Then they'd one of his bigger bears would take on a pack of the local dogs, and Adams would offer cash prizes for the best dogs. And, you know, it was kind of a festival or festive occasion. He'd hire a band and have drinks and one thing and another.
Well, stop. When you say that he was going to fight, the bear was going to fight the dogs.
Right.
Well, now, it sounds to me like the old bear was going to do away with the dogs. This wasn't exactly sanctioned by the Humane Society of the United States, was it?
No, I think PETA would get after them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, and I think he may have probably had him trained where the bear just kind of probably knocked him around.
Oh, just a little slap every now and then. Nothing like getting a head slap from a grizzly.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Speaking about getting knocked around. Anyway, he went on up into Oregon for a while, and he found some more, he wanted more grizzlies. And this time he caught a couple of cubs, but they were about a year old. And so they were bigger, and so what he did, he lassoed them, roped them, and then he chained them to a tree, and he didn't quite know how to get started training them. So what he did is he just got a willow, and he went in and just kind of beat on them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hurt them, but it just tamed them, I guess. And so the one bear, he finally just laid down, and he went and patted her, and anyway, it worked. He was able to train, and this is another bear that he called Lady Washington.
Yeah.
And Lady Washington would actually carry packs when he was going from one place to another.
I'm assuming when you said he roped these bears, did he rope those bears on horseback?
I doubt it. I mean, I don't think a horse is going to stick around.
Not on this lifetime.
I don't think so. So, but anyway, he kept Ben Franklin and Lady Washington and several others for his collection, and he traveled over quite a distance. We really don't know how far he went, but now there was one point where he had kind of a dangerous encounter with a mama bear.
Kind
with
of.
Three cubs.
Yeah.
The she-bear knocked his rifle from his hands with her left paw, knocked him to the ground with her right paw, and then started biting him in the back. Now, Ben Franklin, the Adams tame grizzly bear, jumped into the fight and distracted the she-bear long enough for Adams to climb a tree and reload his rifle and shoot the bear.
Okay, now we got to stop there again because we have a little notation in history that draws a question from me.
Okay.
Climb a tree? Isn't that what you're not supposed to do when you're out with bears?
Well, at this point, I think he was just trying to get away from that bear long enough to get his rifle ready.
I see. Okay.
So, now, another encounter, a grizzly struck Adams right on top of the head, tearing off his scalp, and actually punched a hole in his skull.
Oh, my
bone.
Goodness sakes!
Now, this is gonna come back to haunt him a little later here.
Okay? Well, I imagine that.
So, anyway, he went into San Francisco, and he opened up an establishment. They called it the Mountaineer Museum, and he had bears and different animals, elk, tiger, mountain lion stuff, and anyway, he was quite a sensation there in San Francisco, but anyway, it came time that, San Francisco kind of got used to seeing old Grizz out there walking the streets with his two bears, walking down the street for an evening stroll, so.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
But anyway, the attendance started falling off and the cost was going up, so he decided to move everything to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So he went around the Horn in a ship. Took 3 months to get around to New York City, and as soon as he got there, guess who should meet him but good old P.T. Barnum.
Oh, my.
So Barnum was thrilled. He wanted to add Adams to his show. So, anyway, so that's what they did, and it was Barnum who actually started the name Grizzly Adams, and the nickname stuck. So,
did by the way, I got to ask you this. Did old Grizz, after that one encounter, did he have any hair on his head, or was he bald as a cue ball?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, my goodness, you're always going to get to something.
Okay, so it was, like I say, Barnum, he's the one that made this stick, you know, basically. So the city crowd, they were big, you know, and so the proceeds, you know, they made really a lot of money. But during a particular show, you know, sometimes the animals didn't always do what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember Siegfried and Roy, those guys had a little incident here a few years ago.
A little incident.
Yeah. Well, during one particular show, he was working with General Fremont to perform, and this big old bear suddenly turned on him and seized his left arm in his mouth.
Oh, this isn't good. This isn't good.
No. So Adam struggled with the bear. His dog actually jumped in and distracted the bear long enough for Grizzly to get away.
Uh-huh.
So, but the problem was, there was another problem. When Barnum met old Grizzly Adams, he took his hat off, and here was this bald head with you know, part of the skull missing from his scrape from this old grizzly bear that he'd had.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this was also aggravated when a monkey later jumped on his head and bit into the wound.
Well, just stop here. Whoa, wait a minute. You're going much too fast for this old cowboy.
Okay.
A monkey jumped on his head and bit him in the spot where the bear had taken off his scalp?
Right. And there was no bone to kind of... I mean, the skull was literally broken in. And, I mean, this last... And then this last blow from the bear... basically, and I'm going to be a little graphic, it basically laid open his brain so that you could actually see inside his brain.
There's a lot of people that might have been questioning if there was a brain up there in the first place.
Well, you know, Barnum knew the old trapper was dying at this point,
yeah.
And he'd already hired a replacement, and the doctors, they could only tell him what he already knew, that if the head was uncovered, I mean, you could actually see the blood vessels pulsating in this hole in his head.
Holy! Well, imagine that.
there was no bone there.
How'd you get that last one? Well, a monkey jumped on my head. And
I mean, you know, a few blows from a bear and then a monkey. I mean, so anyway, old Grizzly, he didn't want to give up. He wanted to establish financial security for his wife, and so he convinced Barnum to keep him on for another 10 weeks for an additional $500. And then something else happened, as if that wasn't enough.
Oh, my goodness. So now, I suppose you're going to tell me that a zebra hit him.
Into this. He's got about a week to go,
yeah.
And he's exhibiting another bear, and a black bear grabs him by the leg and just kind of throws him around.
Yeah.
The fierce battle goes on, another close call. I mean, poor old Grizzly, he's not doing real good at this point, you know.
Holy.
But he continued to exhibit at the bears, even though he could hardly get up and walk.
Yeah, but if it would have been today, even with all those pre-existing injuries, he still could have got Obamacare.
And then he'd be okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, at this point, old Grizzly, he went home, and he was only 48 years old, but he was scarred, he was tired, he was a sick old man. He returned to his wife and a daughter in Massachusetts. And there was a point one day where he was going along, and he kind of hit a bump in his wagon, and it kind of opened up the wound in his head, and he basically kind of bled to death.
Oh, after all that?
After all that, he just, well, you know, it was pretty well, you know, probably wouldn't take much. So, but, you know, Grizzly Adams became well-known. You know, actors portrayed him on the stage, even into 1890, and... His name came back in about 1974. You probably remember this, the
yeah.
Life and Times of Grizzly Adams with Dan Haggerty.
Dan Haggerty, yep.
Played Grizzly Adams, but there was nobody quite like the real old Grizzly Adams.
Now, in your research, the wife, now she must not have had too much to say in the marriage as far as, okay, Grizz, sit down here and have a cup of coffee. Listen, man, you've been eaten and chewed on for the last 20 years. Why don't we do something else? I mean, she evidently didn't have much control over the old boy.
Well, I think based on what I'm hearing about Grizzly Adams, he kind of liked being alone in the mountains. He was fascinated with the bears and the animals, and, you know, he just... I guess it worked for them. You know?
Wow, but those are devastating.
He's a living for them.
But, you know, all of a sudden you're going along, see, and you're talking about bears. You're talking about black bears. You're talking about grizzly bears. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, you throw a monkey in the fray.
Well, yeah, you know, well, like I say, he had all kinds of animals. You know, elk, deer, he had mountain lions, he had all kinds of animals.
Well, you would have think
his favorite was the grizz.
You would think that the guy would have wore a hat, maybe with a suicide strap on it, or whatever. That maybe the monkey couldn't have got going and pecking away at his head or something. You know.
Well, you know, I guess at that point OSHA wasn't really involved in a lot of that stuff.
Well, this is one of the most weird stories you've ever had on this program, because this guy took a lot of physical abuse, and it was all self-imposed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right in front of me. I've got a admission thing for 25 cents, or a thing that was in the newspaper, and it says, "Great show of animals, Mountaineer Museum." Let's see. "The proprietor has just returned from the mountains with the largest collection of wild animals ever exhibited on the Pacific coast.
Really?
So, Samson, the largest grizzly bear ever caught, weighing 1,500 pounds.
Wow.
Lady Washington, weighing 1,000 pounds. Benjamin Franklin, king of the forest.
Now,
and then it says two young white bears from the Rocky Mountains.
Holy. Now, did he get all of these bears as cubs and train them?
I would think he would have to.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he talked about elk and lions and tigers, panthers, deer.
Panthers?
Again, those would all have to be caught young, I would think.
You know, it doesn't say much for the whole story, though, when he can train these bears and he can train a panther and he lets a monkey be his demise?
Well, I suspect that monkey was probably just rolling around on his shoulders and just took a chunk out of his head.
You make it sound so tender.
Well, I don't know. I've seen monkeys in the zoo, and some of them don't look really all that friendly.
No, they do not, and I'd never want to be near a monkey. I've heard bad things about monkeys.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to tell you, that was an interesting story, but, you know, I honestly thought that Grizzly Adams, the TV show, I didn't know it was based on a real person, so you really taught me something. I thought that was all fiction.
All made up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Dan Haggerty, you know, that show, as I recall, didn't last too long.
No.
He was kind of a kinder, gentler Grizzly Adams. He wasn't, I don't think he was quite the same as the real.
Yeah,
Grizzly.
But didn't Dan Haggerty have a bunch of problems, too? Health problems?
You know,
I think he did.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember him from the movie or from the show, but I don't remember anything about him after that.
We'll have to check on that. Listen, we've got just a minute here, and I want to say to you, folks, this is a dear friend of mine, Dr. Ken Turner, chiropractor in Burley, and I can't imagine having this program without his segment on it, Dr. History. He does such a wonderful job, and we're wrapping up 2013, and we're looking forward to 2014. Next week, you'll be on the air, hopefully with Sharon on this time slot. I'll be in Salt Lake City, but God's blessings and a happy new year to you.
Well, our prayers are with you, Zeb. I hope everything goes good for you.
Well, I appreciate that, Ken, and we'll certainly look forward to having you back on the program when I'm sitting here in the saddle. So thank you, and God's blessings and happy new year to you.
Thank you, Zeb. We'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Thank you much. Holy smokes, there really was a real live Grizzly Adams. And a monkey was his demise. My goodness.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.